Welcome to Torah Temecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Hindi Mendelowitz. This week's parasha is Mishpatim. Following the tremendous revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his speaking forth the Aseret HaDibrot to Klal Yisrael in last week's parasha, we have Ve'ele HaMishpatim, the details of the laws, which, as Rashi says, will be laid out Kishulchan Aruch, beautifully ordered and set forward for Klal Yisrael. There will be 53 mitzvot outlined in this parasha. Many details, many technicalities. There will be the laws of the Eved, the servant. There will be the penalties for murder, kidnapping, assault, theft. There will be the laws dealing with damages, the granting of loans, and the responsibilities of the various category of shomil, of one person who's guarding the property of somebody else. There will be systems of law and justice set up with specific attention to protect the rights of those who would generally be underprivileged or perhaps unheard, whether it be the ger, the atom, or the almana. Continuing will be the laws of the chagim, of the holidays throughout the year, some of the gifts that are meant to be brought to the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, the isur, the prohibition, of cooking meat with milk, which becomes the basis very much for our kosher kitchens, and the mitzvah of tefillah itself. Continuing in the parasha, Klal Yisrael proclaim in one of our proudest moments, Kal asher dibel Hashem na'aseh v'nishma. Unconditionally, we will do and we will hear. The parasha ends with Moshe Rabbeinu taking leave of Klal Yisrael, appointing Aaron and Hor ben Miriam to watch over the Machane Yisrael, the camp of Klal Yisrael. Moshe then ascends Har Sinai and will remain in Shamayim, in the heavens, for 40 days and 40 nights to receive the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a parasha replete with details, technicalities, judicial precision. Not all of us hear the song in the law. But as we'll try to understand, it's the parasha that's the fabric from which our very society is made. The parasha starts with what seems to be a literary no-no, that hanging vav, ve'ele ha-mishpatim. We all had a teacher who taught us, we never begin a sentence with, and. The rule we carry with us, which leads us to ask the question, when the Torah itself begins with, and, what is it trying to tell us? Ve'ele ha-mishpatim. This is Parashat Mishpatim, Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Asher tasim lifnehem. And these are the laws you will place before them. The Vav, the end, connects this starting Pasuk to the previous parasha, Parashat Yitro, which ended with the command to build the Mizbeach, with some of the instructions of how yes and how not to get that done. As Rav Shamshon Afal Hirsch points out, the Mizbeach symbolizes God's presence in our society. And it's not just his presence in society, but that presence as the basis for the entire building of our society and our community as one that should be based on justice, humanity, compassion, support of every individual in a moral, ethical, and refined way. And it's these mishpatim, it's these laws, the details, the technicalities, what we might be inclined to call, when we're not inspired, the nitty-gritty, which are the fundamentals of society and protect this idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in our midst. Just as Parashat Yitro, which immediately precedes this Ve'ele HaMishpatim, instructs, commands us, that the Mizbeach cannot be built with any tools made of iron, because iron would symbolize violence, which is the antithesis of the Mizbeach, which exists to bring shalom, peace, between the Jews and God. So too, the system of laws, which will govern a Jewish society, will distance the cherev, will distance the violence or cruelty or apathy that would perhaps rip a society apart. And it's only when we build this society, based on the laws brought forth in this week's parasha, based on, again, values of compassion, justice, kindness that are mandated by these laws, only then will HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence rest within us. Which is the reason that after HaKadosh Baruch Hu raises us up with the title in last week's parasha, Atem Tiyuli Mamlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, and there's the promise that God will indeed rest his presence amongst us, we are becoming that nation of Geulah we've been speaking about since the start of the Sefer. We should waltz right now into the building of the Mishkan, but we don't. First is Ve'ele HaMishpatim, because setting up a society that again is based on these values of justice and mercy and compassion and love, all of which will attest to the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are the prerequisite for HaKadosh Baruch Hu resting his presence amongst us. The Mishpatim must precede the building of the Ohel Moed. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, in his beautiful Sefer Sichot Musar, titles this parasha Parashat HaChesed, not the section of the law, but he calls it the section of loving kindness, and begins to go through the various comments of the Mefarshim on some of the commands in this parasha, in showing us the underlying Midah of Chesed that is being developed within us through these laws. To begin with a classic, Perek Chaf Bet, Pasuk Chaf Dalet, Im Kesef Talve, which would seem to mean literally, if it will happen, that you lend money, Es Ami Es Ha'ani Imach, towards my nation, towards the one who is poor, Lo Siyelo Kinoshe, Lo Sisimun Alav Neshech. We are commanded to lend money in a way where we don't demand it back forcefully in a way that would make the lender embarrassed, and to be sure not to charge interest on the loan. Rashi over there points out, Im kesef talve, which would mean literally, if you lend money, Rabbi Shmael omer, says Rabbi Shmael, Kal im v'im shebetorah reshut. Whenever we find this word, the terminology of im, it indicates that there's a choice here, if it will happen, and you can decide if it will or will not. Chutz migimel, except for three cases, where this is not reshut, but this is chova. This is not if you will lend money, but rather when you will lend money. V'zeh achad mehen, this is one of those three instances where im is not indicating a choice, but im is indicating an obligation. And the understanding is that this is what a Jew does. A Jew does not choose if or not. A Jew lends money. Es ami, shelo tinhog bo minhag bizayon, behalva'a shehu ami, the comment of Rashi. Don't treat him in a way that would embarrass him, because after all, he is my nation. And so when we are exercising this obligation to lend money, we must do so in a way that preserves the dignity of the lender, because we have to feel that the borrower is ami, is part of Am Hashem. Es ha'ani imach, towards the poor one within you, or with you. Heve mistakel ba'atzmecha, ki'ilu ata ani. Again, the words of Rashi. Ani imach, the poor man with you. Don't look at him as somebody who's other, a different category, a needy person, but rather look upon the lender as if it were you. And how would you want to be treated were you in this compromising situation, where you had to come to another person to borrow money? Not enough to be gracious, not enough to be generous, but we also have to exercise an empathy and a sensitivity towards the one who is borrowing. Lo tiye lo kinoshe. Again, Rashi. Al tiye dome alav ki'ilu helveto. Ela ki'ilu lo helveto. When you meet him, don't treat him as if you lent him money, but always treat him as a person who's equal, and this is not the relationship that defines you. Lo tisimun alav neshech. There can be no benefit that a Jew accrues by lending money to another Jew. There's no interest, and this is done purely altruistically, purely because this is what Jews do as Am Hashem. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz points out that there is a tremendous level of sensitivity, empathy, emotional creativity that's demanded of the Jew in the way he does this chesed. What we're describing here is not a society of justice or a society of welfare. It's a society of kindness, of brotherhood, of chesed. But whereas we often consider chesed as the extra that we do, that's not mandated or demanded by law. Over here, this is Parshat Mishpatim. It's the parsha of law, where this elevated level of being so kind and empathetic and sensitive is not the extra, but it's the minimum that is obligated of us as Jews. And as Rav Chaim Shmulevitz points out, this is not a command that's given only to the greats amongst us. Many of us are familiar with the stories of the Gdolim, who exhibited this tremendous sensitivity, this tremendous selflessness in giving away their very beds, their very coats, in understanding the nuance of what was being asked of them. The classic story of a Jew who came to a Rav, Erev Pesach, to ask the halachic question of, could he be yotze, could he fulfill the obligation of the 4 cups of wine on milk? The rabbi called to one of his aides and asked him to give this person a large sum of money, saying, better you should use wine, go buy some wine. The gabbai asked the rabbi, but wait, wine doesn't cost that much money. Why the very large gift? Said the rabbi, didn't you hear what he was asking? If he wants to fulfill the mitzvah of the arba kosot, of the 4 cups on milk, that means he's not only missing wine, he also has no money for meat. And therefore the large gift, to buy all the basics for the chag. The sensitivity, the gadlut, the greatness of this rabbi, in understanding the nuance and the subtlety behind the question that was asked. But again, as Rav Chaim says, this is not a parasha only for the greatest, most sensitive Jews. It's the parasha of what is demanded or expected of every Jew. And says Rav Chaim, this is what happens, and this is who we become. The greater we are, the more that's demanded of us. When we as Jews begin to do chesed, each time we're sensitive, each time we extend, each time we listen a little closer to the cry of the person opposite us and extend ourselves, we become a little more elevated. We notice more. We hear the nuance in the cry. And then when we hear, we must respond. Whereupon we become the sorts of people who become more sensitive, more empathetic, more aware, and then more is demanded of us. Where that which perhaps previously was a higher level of chesed becomes in my own life mishpat. It's who I am and it's who I must be because not if, but rather of course, this is what Jews do. And the more we train ourselves to be sensitive in the way demanded by this parasha, and to protect those who are underprivileged, and to seek out justice in all of our dealings with others, not only seek out justice, seek out chesed, then that level of chesed becomes the mishpat. It becomes what's demanded or what's expected of us, and we become different people. As Reb Shamshon Rafael Hirsch points out, again, this pasuk, Perek Chav Bet, Pasuk Chav Dalid, Im Kesef Talve. The literal understanding of the word talve means when you will lend money. But this root word of lilavot is also related to levaya, to escort. As Leah said in naming her son Levi, Leah imenu hapam yilave ishi alai. This time my husband will escort me. Says Rav Hirsch, the meaning of the root word lilavot is to attach myself to someone else to bring them benefit. That's what it means to escort. And that's also what it means to lend. Im kesef talveh. if you attach yourself to the Ani, to give him benefit, then it's Ami. You're connecting not only to this Ani, but you are connecting to Ami, to my nation, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you connect to the nation about whom it said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words, V'lakachti eschem li le'am. We become the nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that again represents his presence in this world, when we are a chevrat b'nei am Hashem. When we relate to other Jews in this way, this elevated, beautiful way of chesed, of hearing nuance, of being sensitive to the cry, of setting up a society built not on strict laws and codes, but based on strict fealty to another one as a child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we're designing our society and all of our interpersonal interactions under the rule of the Torah. Says Rev Hirsch, when we become this sort of Am Hashem, as much or more than the Mishkan or the Mizbeach will represent or reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in this world, our Chaye HaChevra, our interpersonal relations, the beautiful, exalted way in which one Jew is sensitive to the needs of another, that itself, our systems of relating to others, that itself will reveal the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his presence within us, as much as the Avoda in the Mishkan ever did or ever will. And it is in that way that we become the Am Hashem, and it's in that way that will segue us towards the next parasha, which will be the parasha again of the Mishkan, of Hashra'at Shechinato Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'toch Am Hashem, of the resting of HaKadosh Baruch Hu within Klal Yisrael, which can only happen if ours is a society that is built with an attention to this Parashat HaChesed, which is Parashat HaMishpatim.